born-again believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the liberating power in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you, oh God. We magnify you. We glorify your name. We exalt you, dear God. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God, to be praised. You're worthy to be magnified. You're worthy to be lifted up. Blessed is the name of the Lord tonight. Holy, holy, holy are thou, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight. We're going to the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. We're going to start in verse number 1 tonight. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be the Hazantamars and the Injas. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. We find here in 2 Chronicles that Jehoshaphat, the king, found himself fixing to become a pancake. On one side, the enemy was marching in great force, and on the other side, his other enemy was marching on great force, and he was in the middle. So we want to allow the Word of God to speak to our hearts from 2 Chronicles tonight. Let's lay our Bibles down, lift up our hands, and ask the Lord to anoint our ears and our hearts to hear and receive the Word. Dear God, Lord, you see each and every one of us, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive the Word of God. Fertilize your Word. Fertilize the instruction, God. Speak unto us what you have for us. We need you tonight, oh God. In the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the Word of God, we see great contrast. We see on one side of the picture, on the other side, the total opposite of what is going on. In the very beginning, God created a great contrast. God separated the light from the darkness so that there would be a division and we would be able to see that which is good and that which is evil. We see in the right after Adam and Eve was driven out of the garden, here was Cain and Abel. Both of them were bringing a sacrifice to God. And I think that is an important point to consider and to look at the moment, is that both of them were coming and both of them were involved in worship. But one of them brought his sacrifice to God under the attitude that God was going to accept that which was cursed. God was going to accept that which he brought, even though it wasn't what God had required of him. On the other hand, there was Abel. Abel brought unto God a sacrifice out of that which God had asked for. And the Bible says that God was pleased with his sacrifice, and God was also pleased with Abel. So tonight we see the challenge and the warfare that we're involved in, and that when we see those that for whatever reason have decided that the sacrifice of the cross is not worth it anymore, that they are not willing to come and to bring unto God that sacrifice that he is looking for, that there is something else that is there. It is not with a pure heart. It is not with a pure motive that they're going forth. There's something wrong in their heart. And we see it now because it has corrupted their sacrifice. It has corrupted what they're bringing to God. What they are doing, what they are involved in, what they're a part of is a symptom of what the heart has produced. I want to have a heart that says, oh God, allow me to have a clean and a pure heart. Cleanse me so that I would bring unto you and I would offer unto you a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto my God. And let me realize that is my reasonable service. So Abel brought a sacrifice and God was pleased with what he had to offer. Cain became angry because God did not honor him in the way that he felt that he should be honored. I want to have a spirit of humility and not a spirit of pride. Tonight, who am I to tell God what to do? Who am I to tell God how to run his business? Who am I to tell God how to lift up one and set down another? I'm just thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God. Oh, if I could just get the attitude that David inspired when he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than anything that the wicked has to offer. I want to tell you, a bad day living for God is better than the best day that the devil has got to offer. Oh, it may be raining. The storm may be raging. There may be adversity on every hand. But in the midst of all that, when I've got Jesus, I can get a hold of the peace. I can get a hold of the joy. I can get a hold of that which will give me strength. I look around and I see those that they're swallowed up by the darkness. They're swallowed up by the world. There's so many that God has allowed us to reach out to as a church. And we've told them the salvation message. And God is dealing on their heart. But we need to be a church of prayer. We need to get on our knees and seek God this week. There's so many out there that are so close to God transforming their life. They're so close to a knowledge of the Holy Ghost. May we get a hold of God. May we seek God. May we intercede to the Most High. Preach it. Because being close doesn't get you through the gates. Being close doesn't get you saved. Being close isn't going to be all that it matters. Some way and somehow, somebody's got to have a burden. Somebody's got to be on fire. Somebody's got to get a hold of the throne of grace because they have got to find the altar of repentance and they're going to have to repent and they're going to have to be baptized in Jesus' name so that God can fill them with the Holy Ghost. So close, but they're so far. They need somebody that's willing to be an interceder, somebody that's willing to reach out to them and speak the truth in love, that God would draw them in. We see a contrast between Jacob and Esau, the deceiver, the one that grasped all the things because it's what he wanted and it's what he knew that he needed and what he was trying to get for himself. And it looked like the deceiver would never ever get where he's going. If we were looking through the carnal eyes, we would look at Jacob and we'd say, there's no way he's ever going to make it. There's no way that Jacob can be what God would have him to be. There's no way that he can be a part of God's great nation. There's no way that he can have children that love God and serve God. But God was dealing on him. And God was using all the circumstances in his life to lead him and guide him down the path where he wanted him to be. And Jacob finally had his time and his moment where God got a hold of him. And he decided that he was not going to let loose of God until God changed something. There is that time when God will get a hold of people and they can make that decision that they have got to have God. Oh, somewhere, if they can find themselves at the brook, if they can find themselves at the place where the angel of God will begin to deal with them, and they can wrestle with God, and they can realize the things that they got are not worth having, that they've got to turn loose of the weak and beggarly elements of this world in order to find that which is eternal. You see, David and Saul, there was the man that stood head and shoulders above all else, the one that seemed to be the ideal king, the one that was the warrior, the one that became upset when he saw injustice and rallied the people to do something about it. But there was David, the one that nobody thought could do anything. The one that everybody was satisfied with him being on the backside of the desert. But David found something in that desert. He found a relationship with God through praise and worship. We find ourselves here. Here was Jehoshaphat the king. And he was put in a place, in a position. Here were the Ammonites and the Moabites coming against him. These were enemies that were created by somebody else. Somebody else's failure dropped this problem in his lap. He wasn't the one that did it. It was Lot. It was Lot that created these people. He was the one through his Sodomite journey that brought him to a place and a point where his descendants became these ones that became the enemies of the children of God. Jehoshaphat was facing an enemy that somebody else had created, a monster that somebody else had brought into the world because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God. He could have looked at God and he could have done a lot of things. But if you look in verse number 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you will see that after the people had been called together, he realized something. He had something within him. It said, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, they said, hey, the enemy's coming on the right. And the enemy's coming on the left. There's no deliverance from the north. There's no deliverance from the south. Here we are in the middle. And the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not we praise the Lord. So we're going to praise the Lord. We're going to sing a new song. We're going to worship God. We're going to praise God. The victory will come when you praise God. It doesn't matter if the battle is now. It doesn't matter if the battle was yesterday. It doesn't matter if the battle is going to be tomorrow. It's still time to praise to God. It's still worship time. So they begin to praise the Lord. They begin to magnify the name of the Lord. And it says, and the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and at Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I need the Lord to fight my battle for me. Sometimes we get so busy thinking we got to take care of it, that we've got to do something about it. The biggest thing that I can do about it is fall on my knees and start praying. The best thing I can do about it, amen, is to get a song on my lips and some worship in my heart and begin to say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, I'm going to let the Lord fight my battle for me. The Lord fought their battle for them. And it says, and he utterly slayed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of their inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. It's a beautiful thing about it. When the church comes together in unity, in one mind and one accord, and we begin to praise and we begin to worship God, the enemy will destroy themselves. They can't get along within themselves. Hey man, you can't compromise enough to please the devil. You can't get enough sin in the church to make the sinner happy. You can't get enough perversion to help the perverted. You can't do it. Oh, when we get in one mind and one accord and we begin to praise the Lord, our enemies will destroy themselves. They they will tear down all that it comes against the Lord. Just allow me to lift up God, and the enemy will destroy themselves. Hallelujah. Oh my. The Bible says, and when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoils of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering all the spoils. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves together in the valley of Barca. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Barca unto this day. After the victory, after God has taken care of the problem, after the windows of heaven have been opened up, after all the blessings are there, what is it? What do we need to do? It's time to worship the Lord. It's time to praise God. It's time to thank God. It's time to give Him the glory. It's time to get a praise on. It's time to get a song in our heart. Oh, just because God's blessed, I'm not going to stop praising Him. Just because God's provided, I'm not going to keep worshiping Him. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on worshiping Him. I can't stop. I got to keep on praising the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be magnified. In our world around us, there is chaos. Around us, God begins to show His pattern, His will, and His revelation. In the beginning, there was truly chaos. God brought light penetrating into the darkness that man would know that there is light. Out of the tossing seas, the whole earth was covered, and land began to emerge out of the water. Water is suddenly pushed aside, and there is the land for man to dwell upon. We see that when God gets ready to provide for His people, it doesn't matter how great the obstacle is. What matters is how great your God is. He is the one that will provide. He is the God that is there on time if we will trust in Him and we will seek His face and we will be faithful. I want to tell you something. There wasn't anybody in Egypt that ever got one loaf of manna. As long as they were in Egypt, there was never any water that flowed out of the rock. As long as they were in Egypt, all they had were the leeks and the melon. All they had was the whip of the taskmaster. All they had was the cruel tasks that were involved. They had to come out of Egypt. They had to forsake the world. They had to cross and say, I am going to follow after the man of God. I'm going to go where the Spirit of God is leading Moses. I'm going to listen to what the Spirit of God is going to say. In order to have the blessings of God, we've got to leave the world behind. God doesn't always solve the problem. God does not always bring deliverance the way that we think it should be. But God will use a willing vessel. God will use a willing vessel. I look and I see God using vessels that are willing to give Him some glory and give Him some honor and give Him some praise. May I realize I need to be a willing vessel. I need to be something that can open up to God. I can be something that God can use. May God give me wisdom. May God give me strength that I would be the best that I can be. Samson looked around one time. There was no sword. There was no shield. There was no bow. There was no arrow. There was no helmet. The only thing that he saw was the jawbone of an ass. And he picked it up and God used it to bring deliverance. God can use a lot of things if we will just allow Him to work in our lives, if we will just put our faith and our confidence in Him. There was a family dwelling in the city of Jericho. And what was there? And it was a sign of that which was evil. God took the scarlet cord and He said, I will use that scarlet cord to turn that into a line that designates the bloodline of Jesus Christ. That scarlet cord had been used to designate that which was evil and that which was wicked. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to use that to save a family. Oh, I can't look at people and say, hey, this is impossible for God. This is somebody that God's not going to be able to save. This is something that's evil. This is something that's perverted. I want to tell you something. God can reach down and He can pick them up and bring it out. They can use it as a testimony. They can use it to proclaim and give glory to God. Our world doesn't have answers for the alcoholics. They don't have answers for the drug addicts. They don't have answers for those that are addicted to gambling. There's a lot of answers our world don't have today. They don't have any answers for depression. They don't have any answers for the broke up marriages. But let me tell you something. God has some answers. Oh, God wants to bring people out of that area. God wants to put marriages back together. God wants to deliver the drug addict. God wants to deliver the alcoholic. God wants to deliver those that are depressed and give them joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. Our testimony is a powerful tool. God brings salvation to those that are willing to allow Him to change their life. Here was Jehoshaphat. He had fought a battle, and the enemy was not even his own making. I see here was Abraham who got ahead of God. Hagar had Ishmael. And tonight the Muslims are plaguing the children of God all over the world because of Abraham's mistake. Somehow, in some way, may we seek God's face. Because the generation that comes after us, I don't want them to have to pay for my mistakes. I don't want to have pride and rebellion somewhere within me that brings error to them. I don't want there to have to be something that they struggle with because I refuse to allow truth to flow through me. I want to love the truth with all of my heart and all of my might. I see a cart with the Ark of the Covenant going across the countryside. The intention was to bring the Ark of God back to the tabernacle, back to the house of God. But again, we see ourselves in a situation where this wasn't God's way. This wasn't how God wanted it to be. Some things in our modern world that disturbs us, old preacher. I've been around long enough. I've heard enough messages. I've seen God move enough. There's some things that disturb me. There's some things that people are trying to put God's seal of approval on, and He just won't swallow it. I want to be very careful about the music that I bring into my world. I want to tell you something. Just because they put a label on it and they call it gospel, they call it Christian, don't mean that it's bringing glory and honor to God. It may be a new cart that they've put underneath the ark. It may be something they're trying to disguise and call it Christian when it's not Christian. May I look into the book and may I see that God has said, remove not the ancient landmarks. There's some landmarks. There's some markers that God has put down for His people because He wants His people to be safe. I look and I see in the Word of God, there in the book of Deuteronomy, where He commands us and tells us it's an abomination for a woman to wear a man's garment and for a man to wear a woman's garment. I want to tell you tonight, You're not going to see this preacher up here preaching in a skirt. This preacher's not going to be wearing no dress. There's a lot of them out there. They don't got enough guts to get up and say, well, a woman shouldn't be wearing the pants. But they don't have enough guts to get on the platform in a dress either. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If it's all right for the woman to wear the pants, they need to get up with a dress on. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's some old landmarks that have been solid. They've been secure. They've been put there for a reason. We wouldn't have the problem in our world today with the sodomites that we have if somebody had stood up on the book of Deuteronomy and said it's an abomination. My God is calling for modesty. We're not going to stand for it. We're not going to go around and offer our children to the gods of this world. We're not going to stand by and say, well, it's cute for junior boy to wear a dress. No, it ain't cute. It's an abomination. May God give us the strength to stand in this day and in this hour against this ever-present evil that's in our world that is around us. If we don't take a stand for something, we're going to fall for everything. Those ancient landmarks are there. People that have prayed, people that have sought God's faith, people that have realized that we must have within us a spirit of modesty and holiness and separation from the world. I look and I see that so many in our world today are so involved in the gods of this world. They're so involved in being a part of everything else that the world is doing. But Paul warned them in the book of Romans. He looked at them and he said, they are worshiping and they're serving the creature rather than the Creator. Anytime there is something that gets my worship and gets my praise that should be going to God, there's something wrong with it. It is Jesus Christ that I should worship. It is Jesus Christ that I should praise. He is the one that should have the emotions from my heart. He is the one that should have the shout from my lungs. I should get excited about Jesus. Oh, it is not the creature. It is not mankind. It is Jesus. Let me praise Him. Let me magnify Him. Let me exalt Him. Let me worship His name. Some ancient landmarks that I've got to stand on. Around us, our world is making idols out of people. We see them on every hand. They're in the music industry. They've got their heroes. They're going and they're having the concerts and everybody's excited and they're screaming and they're hollering and they're doing all this stuff. They're giving praise and worship to mankind and not to God. When I come to the house of God to sing unto Him, I'm not coming to perform for mankind. I'm not coming to get the accolades of mankind, but I'm coming to the house of God that Jesus may be lifted up. Yes. When talent becomes more important than the event, I want to tell you it's no longer church. Thank God for good Holy Ghost talent in this church. Thank God for people that work hard in order to worship and praise God to the best of their abilities. But we're not coming to see and to hear mankind's talent. We're coming that our heart may cry for it, that there may be praise and worship to God, that God may be pleased, that He will say, it is a sweet smell. It is something that I love to hear. It is something that's from the heart. I've seen those that had great talent. And it wasn't something that was coming from their heart because they loved God so much. It was something that they were doing to boost their ego, to make themselves feel good and prove to the world how great and wonderful they were. Oh God, I want to worship You. I want to praise You. And I see in our world today, there are so many that become so engrossed in the games of our world that they literally begin to worship the sports heroes. I got a real problem. People say, we've got to get in the spirit of this. Come on, everybody get in the spirit. Come on, let's cheer. Come on, let's get in the spirit. Let's... Somewhere, they're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. Oh, there's great and wonderful activities are involved. We get out, we exercise our body, we have fun, we have fellowship. All those things are great and wonderful. But when it becomes something that is a religion, it becomes something where people identify with it. They wear the special clothes. Everybody that sees them says, well, they belong to that. They're a member. They're a fan of that. Where's Jesus getting any glory out of that? Oh, where's Jesus getting any praise out of that? They're uplifting man. They're uplifting organizations. God is not within 100 miles of it. Let me tell you something. He is the one that gets the glory. It is His name that should be proclaimed. Hallelujah. I don't want to allow the world to swallow me up. I want to make a stand upon that which is solid, because we have all around us sinking sand. All around us, the storm rages. But there came a time and a place that David said, I've got to make sure this is done right. I've got to take the ark back home the way God does it. Because wherever the ark is, there's blessings. I want to tell you, wherever there is two or three gathered together in the name of Jesus, worshiping and praying, praising Him, He's going to be in the midst of those people. When the worship is coming from the heart, when the worship is coming from those that love Him, God's presence is going to be there. His blessings are going to rain down. We're going to see His glory. It doesn't matter if there's an enemy on the right and an enemy on the left. It doesn't matter if there doesn't seem any deliverance. It doesn't matter if there doesn't seem any way. Oh, my God is a God that makes a way. My God is a God that is not limited by our imagination. He's not limited by the things of this world. When we begin to praise and worship Him, He is the one that will fight the battle for us. The devil is always there, and he plays on our fears. He wants to try to kill your faith. The devil wins when we have doubt. The enemy of faith is doubt, and he uses fear to try to bring that doubt. He will come by and he will say, you're going to be defeated. You can't win this one. He will come by and say, oh my, what will happen if you fail? What will happen if you fail? Everybody will laugh at you. Everybody will say, look at him. Oh, he's a failure. Look at what he's doing. It don't work. Look at what he's doing. Because he don't want you to try. Because the devil knows that if you'll ever take a stand, there's no way you can fail. You ever take a stand from God, you will never fail. He that makes a stand from God will be a success from the moment he starts to stand. Doing all to stand. Stand therefore. Oh my. I want to tell you tonight, the devil will come by with fear. He will come by with doubt. But if you will just stand forth and call upon the name of Jesus, there will be victory. There will be deliverance. And when the praises become forth, God will be magnified. And when God is magnified, He begins to move. The devil is a liar. He wants to come by and say, you do that, you're going to lose everything. I want to tell you, when I worship God, I've got everything that I need. I've got Jesus. If the world don't want to be my friend because I worship Jesus, it's all right. Amen. If I don't have food to eat tomorrow because I worship Jesus, I'm all right. If I don't have shoes to wear because I worship Jesus, I'm still all right. But I want to tell you what David told him. He said, Once I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen his seed forsaken or his seed begging bread. I want to tell you, when you make a stand for Jesus, he will bless you, he will make a way, he will add and multiply. Yes. Yes, there are times that you have to walk away from things for the cross. Tonight I don't even want to go down memories lane on this subject. Even though I have no regrets, it still hurts. It's still painful. Those that at one time walked arm in arm with me on the road to the pearly gates. But somewhere along the road, they begin to look to the left, they look to the right, and they saw the broad way. And they turned aside, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep my eyes on Jesus, or am I going to look towards the well-watered plains of Sodom? Yes, if I keep on going, I'm going to lose some things. But Jesus, everything. Jesus, everything. Oh, my. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was painful. But tonight, I can't think of a one of them. I can't think of a one of them that left the path and headed towards Sodom that I'd want to be with tonight. They're not happy. They're not successful. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. They don't have wealth. They don't have riches. They don't have success. All they have is ashes. Of all the great and wonderful things that they went after and they had, and they saw them burn up in their hands. They had the great dreams. They had the great plans. They had the great things. See what I've got. It crumbled. There's nothing in this world worth losing your soul over. There's nothing in this world worth turning back. I want to tell you, the devil is a liar tonight. If you love God with all of your heart, there's nothing in the world that'll stop you getting to heaven. There's not a devil in hell big enough to trip you up on your journey. Hey man, I don't have to live in fear that I'm going to backslide and walk away from God. I want to tell you, I've seen them run the race. Hey, man, I've seen them complete the course. All they had was a love for God in their heart. If you love God tonight, there's nothing going to be able to separate you from the love of God. There's nothing going to be able to stop you. Don't allow the devil to put fear in your heart. Don't allow the devil to pull you down. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Oh, my. The devil tries to come by with the fear. So many fears he tries to bring by. So many things that he tries to put your way. The temptations that he lays out in front of you. But you see, Jehoshaphat had figured something out about the enemy. We skipped to verse number 20 a while ago. But verses 5 through 12 is the prayer that Jehoshaphat began to pray before the praise came. Yes, he started out and he began almost would look like he was questioning God. But it was things in his heart that he didn't know what was going on. There were things in his heart that He believed. But how in the world did all of that equal up to the great problems that he faced? He was fixing to become the pancake. Here was the unmovable object and the irresistible force, and he was going to be in between them. Verse number 6, he says, "Aren't you the God of heaven?" He knew what the answer was. And he was coming to God once again and crying out to him, "Aren't you my God? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of heaven? Isn't power and might in your hands? Isn't it true that no one can withstand you?" Here he was calling out to God. God is your friend. Come to him with honesty and sincerity in your heart, calling upon him, and he will hear your prayer. He was asking him, "Aren't you our God?" That's the beautiful thing about Jesus, is that he is your God. He's not the God just of the pastor. He's not the God just of somebody else in the church. He's not just mama's God or daddy's God or brother's God or uncle's God or grandma's God. He is your God. He will hear your prayer. And then he begins to say, "Didn't you give the land to our father Abraham? Didn't they build a sanctuary for your name? Isn't it true that if evil manifests itself through a sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, that we can stand in this house?" Why is it that the devil fights people so hard from getting to the house of God? There's one thing that I could get into the hearts and souls of every child of God is the urgency to be at the house of God every time the doors are open. Oh my. If we could just get an idea of spiritually what happens in the house of God, in some way link it to a physical thing, we could get an understanding of the value of being in the house of God. It's almost like somebody going to the job and they work all week long and they just slave long hours. Just give all they got to the job. And then at quitting time on Friday evening when the paychecks are being handed out, they say, "I'm just too tired. I just don't feel like it. I've got something else I'd rather do." And they just don't even go by and pick up their paycheck. Just give my paycheck to somebody else. Not one of us in here that would do that tonight. Whatever it takes, we're going to get there and get that paycheck. It's something that we work for. It's something that's valuable. It's something that we need in order to make it through another week. We need that substance to feed our family, to clothe them, and provide shelter and transportation. I want to tell you, spiritually speaking, in the house of God, when we come to the service, it is God's blessings that He is beginning to rain down. We've heard it before in the last few weeks about the vision that he had of the angels coming around, and he's going by and he's picking things up after the church service. And he said, "What is it? What is it are they getting?" And he says he's picking up the blessings that people didn't come and get. Oh God, that we could understand how valuable it is to make it to the house of God. We've got to be where the place that God would meet with his people. This is the house that has the name of Jesus upon it. Verse number 9, "Isn't it true that evil manifests itself through a sword, judgment and pestilence or famine?" We can stand in the house of God. "Isn't it true that we can cry out for our affliction and you will hear and help?" Can't you see Ammon and Moab? Can't you see the evil of these people? Can't you see that we had an opportunity to destroy them before, but we did not? We held our restraint. God had mercy. God, can't you see that they are trying to cast us out of a possession that you gave us in the past? And God, I want you to judge them. Can we trust God to be our judge? Can we trust God to be our judge? I want to tell you, oh, let God be the one that brings the justice. Let God be the one that balances the scale. Let God be the one to lift up one and set down another. I want to be one that has the attitude that I will rejoice when God blesses. Even though the blessing may not be mine, I am thankful. I'm excited every time God blesses somebody. Because every time I see the blessings of God out there on somebody that's being faithful, somebody that's doing the work of God, it's exciting because I know that God is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He can do it for my brother, He can do it for me. Amen. It was so exciting to be able to hear about the church in Georgia that God reached down and blessed in the last few weeks. There they were, the church checking account had less than $12 in it. They owed $985,000 on the church building, and there wasn't even enough money in the account to make a payment. And God, through His glory and His majesty, reached down, and somebody gave them the money, and they paid off the whole note. $985,000 was paid this month. The church is paid off. Hallelujah. Because my God is faithful. When it looks like there is no way, when it looks like we're down to the end, when it looks like there is nothing that can happen, my God will come through. Whether it be small or whether it be great, my God is able. That's right. Hallelujah. This is not some stranger. Amen. This is a man of God that I've heard preach in person many times. Somebody that loves God. Somebody that'll cry and pray with you. Somebody that's standing for the old past. Somebody that's preaching the truth of one God, baptism in Jesus' name, and filling of the Holy Ghost. Went to this church a couple of years back, amen, to try to bring it from destruction and ruin. And He has loved these people, and He has battled, and He's struggled. And God has been faithful. Lord, verse number 12. Can't you see, Lord, that we only have your arm? Lord, we only got your power and your strength to lean on. I can't figure it out on my own. My intellect and my wisdom ain't going to make it work. All I can do is trust in God and knock on the door and go through the door that He opens for me. I don't have the money. I don't have the smarts. I don't have the power. I don't have the prestige. I don't have the friends. I don't have the acquaintances. God, you're the one that's got to do it. You're the one that's got to open the door. Ultimately, we realize and we can state, Lord, we don't know what to do. But we know that you know. The greatest know that you can ever have is to know that God knows. He knows. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your providence, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, oh God. Oh, Lord, the battle may be great. The war may rage, oh God, but we love you. We know, Lord, that you will provide, that you will make a way. Oh, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Our prayers do not define God. When we pray, we allow God to reveal Himself to us. We allow God to speak through the chaos and all of the voices and the static of our life. Sometimes some of the hardest things to do is to get through the static. We constantly see people receive great miracles in the New Testament from Jesus when they were willing to go through great adversities. We talked and we taught about the lady that had the issue of blood. But I want to tell you something. It was a great adversity. It was a great crowd. She was weak. She was sick. She probably was crawling on her knees. It was wall-to-wall people. Oh, it wasn't a great demonstration of her strength and intellect that did it. It was her desperation that no matter what it takes, I'm going to get a hold of God. I wouldn't doubt you reach over and bit somebody on the ankle. Ow, get out of the way. I'm going to see Jesus. She reached over and grabbed somebody else's shoes and pulled them back. Scoot over. I got to get in there to see Jesus. Oh my, there was great adversity. There was great trouble for her to get through. But all that she had to do was touch the hem of His garment. Just the hem of His garment. Just get a hold of a little bit of God. Just get out there and get just a little bit. Just touch the very border of what God is all about. If I can get through all of the world and just get to the edge of God, amen, I can begin to see glory and power that will strengthen me to go on. We see another group of men. There was the man that was in the bed. He'd been there for years and he couldn't get up. And there was the crowd inside the house. There's no way they could get the bed through the crowd so they could get the man to Jesus. Great adversity and great trouble. But it's worth it. The devil wants to say that it ain't worth it. Why in the world do you want to go pray? Nothing's going to happen. It ain't worth it. Why in the world do you want to read your Bible? Nothing's going to happen. It ain't worth it. Why in the world do you want to be a witness? Nothing's going to happen. It ain't worth it. Why in the world do you want to teach another Bible study? Nothing's going to happen. It ain't worth it. I want to tell you, the devil is a liar. Through great trial, through great perseverance, those men, they cut a hole in the roof. Hey, man, we've got to get him down there so Jesus could see him. I want some friends like that man had. Somebody that's willing to go through some trouble to help me find Jesus. May we be like those four men that were willing to pay the price to bring somebody to Jesus. Can you imagine what those four guys had to pay to replace that roof? Can you imagine the trouble and the danger that could have come in their head? We're going to mess this guy's roof up. We're in trouble. We may lose everything we got. But it didn't matter. My friend needs to see Jesus. Amen. Yes, it's going to cost me something. Yes, it's going to cost you something. Amen. But it's worth it if I can bring somebody to the altar. Reaching, pressing forth through the press. Jesus came to the pool. Once a year, the angel had come down and troubled the water into the pool, and the first one in received their healing. And there was the man that had been there. And every year, he said, somebody got there faster than I can. I'm so weak and I'm so sick that I can't get there fast enough to get my healing. But he didn't leave. He said, I'm going to still fight. As long as the angel is still troubling the water, I'm going to still try to get in there. Jesus was looking for somebody that was willing to go regardless of the adversity. I'm going to go back to the altar and I'm going to pray again. I'm going to go back to the altar and I'm going to see God's face again. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody else beat me to it. Yes, somebody else has got it. Yes, it happened for somebody else. Yes, I don't got it. Yes, it ain't happened for me. But God's still doing it. So I'm still going after it. I'm going to still seek after the Holy Ghost. I'm going to still be a witness. I'm going to still pray. I'm going to still go to church. The adversity that comes. God speaks into our world, and sometimes He tries to give us an understanding of what He is through comparing Himself and situations to life that we can understand. In Psalm 72, He says, "And He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth." There's something about it in the summertime. You can mow that grass, and after you've mowed the grass, here comes that shower down. And that water just falls on that cut grass, and the aroma comes forth, that distinct smell. Amen. God has those moments that are so distinct, so poignant, so wonderful, because we're willing to seek them. Seek and you shall find. We can't give up. We can't stop. We got to realize that man's measurement system is all messed up. God is looking for somebody that's willing to stand and to continue to do what's right, even though everybody around us may fall, even though everybody around us may go to the right or go to the left. Keep going. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Psalm 78 said, "Then the Lord awaketh as one out of sleep, like a mighty man that shouteth by the reason of wine." I want to tell you something. There's going to be hours and times and days in our life, and it's going to look to our carnality that God is asleep. All this is happening. All this is going on. But oh my, God's not asleep. When God begins to talk, there ain't nobody going to be able to say they haven't heard the voice of the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, I've been through circumstances, I've been through trials, I've been through tribulations in my life. Had people come against me and bring accusations and say terrible, terrible things against me. And I have chosen to turn and walk away and say, God will fight my battle. God is the one that will speak for me when the time is right. Just because God is silent at this moment doesn't mean that He doesn't know what's going on. But I am going to go ahead and stand for Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and do what is right. I'm going to continue to do what I have been called to do. I'm going to go ahead and fulfill my purpose. I'm going to still praise the Lord. I'm going to still worship God. I'm going to still teach the Word of God. I'm going to still preach this message. I'm going to still stand for goodness and love and mercy. I'm going to love people. I'm going to help people find God. I want to tell you something. The house of God should never be a place where people walk away wounded by those that are supposed to be a minister of the gospel. May God have mercy. There are those out there tonight that have been wounded in the house of God. Pray for them. Let them know there is a place of love. There's a place that they can come. Where love is, and God is not there to hurt them or to wound them, but to help them. But through all of that tonight, as I spoke to you earlier about those along the path that have walked to the right or to the left, there are some of those that are going to be like the prodigal son when they find themselves in the pig pen. They're going to wake up and say, I want to go back to my father's house. And when they get back to the house of God, the way that they're going to know it's the house of God is because it's going to be like it was when they left. I'm still going to be teaching, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I'm still going to be teaching, you've got to repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues. Amen. Before you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, I'm still going to be able to teach. I'm still going to be able to proclaim that God is a God of separation. It's holiness or hell. That there is a God that loves them, but He is standing forth. Come out from among them and be your separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. It's the only way they'll ever be able to make it back is if there's some place to come back to. If the church ever decides that they are going to go to the world in order to be more acceptable to the world will never make it back to the church. Because suddenly the church has become the world and there is no more church. Psalms 104 said, Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Our God is so powerful. Jeremiah 23, Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Oh, my. There's some solid things you will come up against. There's some questions, dilemmas, situations, life will bring your way. But the Word of God is like a hammer. When you've got a hammer that'll break any rock and a fire that'll burn any substance, there's nothing going to be able to stand. Nothing is going to be able to stand. May I realize how important it is to allow God to fight my battles for me. Isaiah 53, Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was telling us the prescription for humility. He wasn't interested in pride and ego and arrogance. He wasn't interested in people that were wrapped up within themselves and what they could do. He was interested in someone that was just willing to believe the Lord. God, make me smart enough to believe you. True stupidity, true ignorance is abound in our world because they don't have enough smarts to believe God. It takes a smart man to believe God. Because all the dumb people in our world are being deceived tonight. They're being taken for a ride by the devil. They're on their way to the lake of fire. And he is convincing them they're enjoying the trip. Merrily, merrily, they're on the way to hell. But oh God, may I realize when my God begins to speak, there is nothing that will stop him. Can you stand with me tonight? I'm so glad that my God is specific. Because when his friend Lazarus was in that tomb and in that grave, If God would have said, "Would the dead come forth?" all the dead of the universe would have stepped out of their grave. He is that powerful. He is that powerful. But he called just one, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. I want to tell you tonight, God knows your name. He knows your situation. He knows your battle. He knows the trial you're going through. And if you can praise him tonight, you can have victory. Could you join me up front? Let's come up here and lift up our hands and just begin to praise the Lord tonight. I want to have a time of thanking God for his goodness, thanking God for his mercy, thanking him for all that he's done. Oh, God, we come forth to praise you. We come forth to magnify your name, oh, God. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy, O Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, O God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, you're worthy to be praised, O God. You're worthy to be exalted. You're worthy to be lifted up. Oh, hallelujah. Now there's no weapon that the enemy can bring against me that will prosper. Oh, God, I'm thankful for your goodness and your mercy. God, I just want to give you thanks tonight. I just want to magnify your name. I just want to glorify you, Lord. I just want to exalt you. You're worthy, oh, God, to receive praise and honor and glory. You're worthy, oh, God, to be exalted. You're worthy to be uplifted. You're my King. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. Oh, yes, Lord, there's victory in the name of Jesus. All the battles are behind me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By faith, believe, and I reach out to you. Thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible is our weapon. Your Spirit gives us strength. When the enemy rushes in like a flood, a standard he will lift. Stand, just keep standing strong. 'Cause when the battle is over, the victory will be won. Oh, fight on, soldier. It's gonna be worth it all in heaven when we crown him Lord of all. Oh, fight on, soldier. When the battles get too tough, when the going gets too rough,